Pop Health Podcast is a public service of 24-Hour Home Care. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. This is Gavin Ward, and I'm the host of Pop Health Podcast. And today we're at a very unique location here in the Culver City area. It's actually pretty dang cool. We're at the headquarters, the United States headquarters of Movember. And I'm alongside my co-host, Ryan Berger. Ryan?
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Ryan actually brought the concept of Movember to our employer, 24-Hour Home Care. So just really appreciate that introduction, Ryan. And we're actually with the U.S. lead of Movember, and we have Mark Hedstrom. Did I say that correctly?
That's right. That's what I am. I'm the country director for the U.S. Campaign for the Movember Foundation.
Very good, Mark. Well, we appreciate you having us here today on this lovely morning. And Mark, tell us a little bit about what Movember's up to this year, a little bit more about the theme and what you guys are up to.
So the Movember Foundation has always been focused on men's health holistically. Physical and mental health is a big area of focus for us. And this year's campaign is ultimately driving at how do we engage men and women through the power of the mustache, which is what Ryan has brought to 24-Hour Home Care, to get a conversation going about men's health. And ultimately what we've also incorporated into this coming campaign that we're really excited about is MOVE, which is a concept obviously around physical activity, getting men and women to engage in physically getting active, whether that's a 30-minute walk at work, having a walking meeting, to going to a CrossFit class for the first time or a barre class for the first time, really trying to engage men and women in that larger conversation, not just through the mustache. And we found that obviously what Movember is really good at and what the mustache has done is it's created a fun way to engage men in something serious, which is talking about their health. And we all know that men aren't the best about talking about their issues, whether they're
right,
physical issues or mental health issues. So the mustache has been a really key way for us to get men to relax, feel comfortable, and actually start engaging in a conversation about what their health is. And ultimately, while some women might not like the mustache, my wife's not a huge fan of it, and it looks pretty bad for the 30 days of Movember, I have to admit. She knows it's for the right reasons, for the right cause. So introducing something like MOVE is a way for us to acknowledge that there is no men's health without getting women involved. So hopefully getting MOVE and getting women active alongside the men for the 30 days of Movember is a great way for us all to engage in that larger conversation.
Now, I know men of all ages and boys as well can possibly get involved. I know when I was a young boy, probably at age, 13, 14, I can grow a little bit on my mustache. You have a little boy at home as well, is that correct?
I do, Ansel. He's 2 years old. He's a firecracker. Enjoy every single day that I have with him. So, even trying to balance what we do here at the foundation with our personal lives is critically important, because we know that family and what we have in our personal lives is critically important to our team coming in and feeling comfortable with what they're doing and what we're trying to do in the world. So I enjoy every waking moment with him. It's incredibly fun. It's been quite a wild ride. My wife has done an incredible job. I show up. I'm the fun guy. She does all the heavy lifting, and he's been a wonderful little kid.
Great. And how does your wife feel about the stash?
She's not a fan. I think when I first joined the organization 4 years ago, she was under the impression that I would only have to grow one mustache for the 30 days of Movember, because we asked men to go clean shaven on the first and then just grow the mustache and only a mustache for 30 days. Because really, 10 days in, when you have what looks like a really bad, coffee stain on your upper lip for some of the guys, is the conversation starter. People will ask you and say, what are you doing?
Yep.
What did you forget to shave your upper lip? And the point of that is that we actually get men to change their appearance, which generates the conversation. And that's probably the most powerful thing that we found that works, is we're really asking men for 30 days to change how they look. And, so when I brought that concept back to my wife, she, she first said, well, I'm not really sure about that part of it, but it sounds like it's an amazing cause. And we both came out of branding, and that's in our backgrounds. So she got it. But what she didn't realize is that I had to have a preseason mustache as well. So I'm currently wearing a preseason mo. Just, I got to make sure it comes in every year. And, obviously, as we lead up to Movember, we're having conversations like this. And, obviously, it's a calling card.
Right.
I pretty much can walk into the communities that we meet with across the U.S. And I will just say, I'm the guy with the mustache. So I can walk into a coffee shop, into a bar, into a restaurant. Pretty quickly, I get noticed by the folks that I'm trying to meet with. So it's a good business card as well.
Absolutely.
Always a good conversation starter.
Absolutely.
So speaking of the preseason Mo and the growth that you've got going on in the lead up to Movember, could you explain to the audience your most recent trip, rubbing elbows up on Capitol Hill, and what the message was and who you partnered with for that?
Absolutely. So we fund a significant amount of research in prostate cancer, both diagnostic and treatment. And our beneficiary partner is the Prostate Cancer Foundation here out of Santa Monica, California. We've been working with them since 2007 when we brought the campaign from Australia to the U.S. And PCF has been a wonderful partner of ours. They do incredible work. They had a scientific retreat this past week. They have one every year. This is the 22nd annual retreat for the foundation. And they had 129 institutions from, I believe, 16 countries.
Wow.
And over 650 researchers, folks like myself in the foundation space, as well as industry, so pharma, all sitting in the same room having a conversation about how do we help men and their families when they're first diagnosed and then treat those individual men. So it's quite a wonderful thing to see. It's an incredible collaboration. So we meet every year in D.C. around this time. And we had a chance to meet with some of the folks up on Capitol Hill, both senators and congressmen. And the conversation there was, how do we work together? Because we had three of the four groups that can influence prostate cancer research and treatment. In the conversation in D.C., what we need is those in the federal government and the state governments to actually support that.
Right.
What's not known is that the DOD, the Department of Defense, is one of the largest funders of prostate cancer research in the United States.
Really?
Wow. Why is it that department?
They've just, that's been a focus for quite some time. The problem is that obviously, you know, with the last couple of years and some of the sequestration that's happened in D.C., a lot of that funding has gone away. So foundations like ourselves and the PCF have had to step in to try to ultimately bring money back into the research community that has largely dried up because of the sequestration. So we want to get them involved in the conversation along with ourselves, with the research community and industry, to say, hey, we need to focus on this because we're getting closer to a day when no man will die from that disease. But if we can all focus on getting the right level of funding into it, we can get there quicker.
That's really neat.
Absolutely. So for those people that aren't as familiar with the history of Movember and how it got started, it wasn't started here in the U.S.
It was not.
Although it has become very popular here. You see news anchors and professional athletes now growing mustaches. Could you give our audience a little bit of the history of where it got started and how it got started?
Absolutely. Well, like everything, it was in a bar. any good ideas happen in a bar.
Absolutely.
That or, you know, when you're driving down the road or you're stuck in traffic. So Movember started in Melbourne, Australia in 2003. Travis Gronig and his buddy Luke Slattery were sitting in a bar in Fitzroy, in which is a section of Melbourne, just hanging out. And they both worked in creative space. So Trav is a designer and is a creative and does still to this day a lot of the creative around what you see when Movember comes along every year. He's heavily involved in the theme and the look and the feel. They were sitting in a bar and they were just having a conversation. And it turns out that Trav's birthday is at the end of November at that time.
Okay.
Now Movember. And he said, you know what? Why has the mustache kind of disappeared from the face of men's fashion? And so they said, well, you know what? We're having a birthday party for at the end of the month. So why don't we get a bunch of our buddies to grow mustaches and we'll have a mustache party? That's literally the genesis of how the Movember Foundation came about.
Wow.
There was no cause tied to it in 2003. And what they found after it is that they had an enormous amount of conversations, because you're 10 days in, you've got an awkward looking mustache. Some of these guys were professionals. Some of the people that worked with them or their managers were saying, you can't go to the client like that. So what they were amazed by is people asked them why they were doing that. And they didn't, you know, other than the answer of, well, we're looking to have a mustache party, what they found was that was a conversation starter. And they had really come on to something. And Trav had been doing some work with the breast cancer awareness movement in Australia and was really inspired by some of the work he'd been seeing there.
Yeah.
And just started doing some research late one night and realized that prostate cancer has the same level of incidence rate that breast cancer does. So 1 in 7 men in the United States will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their life. Mm-hmm. 1 in 2 men will be diagnosed with some form of cancer in their lives, whereas for women it's 1 in 3. So there was a conversation that wasn't happening, that the women's health movement had really started having a conversation around. And we came back to that, and Trav said, well, how do we have this conversation? So fast forward to 2004, when they officially said, we're going to go after this as a potential opportunity to raise awareness around men's health, particularly prostate cancer. They went to the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia, which is still a partner of ours today, and said, we've got this idea. We're going to get guys and girls to support or grow mustaches and raise money.
Yeah.
And PCFA at the time was like, okay, we're not so sure about this, but
right.
We're happy to support you guys with whatever we can. It was the single largest donation that PCFA had seen in its history.
Yep.
So they raised 54,000 Aussie dollars that year and went right to research in Australia. In 2007 was kind of our watershed year.
Okay.
We moved out to 21 countries. So we moved into Canada. Australia was obviously there. New Zealand was obviously there. But we moved into Europe, the UK, Canada, and the US.
And did you have boots on the ground? So
Adam Garoni, who's the current CEO and one of the co-founders, Trav's brother,
yep,
brought the campaign to the US,
okay,
and Canada. And then the fourth co-founder is this guy, JC. JC is based out of the UK. So JC moved the campaign to the United Kingdom and then obviously moved it into Ireland and Europe. So to this day, we're officially in 21 countries around the world.
Wow.
We've had over 5 million participants, and we've raised over $650 million for
Holy
men's
cow.
Health initiatives.
Do you have a goal this year of or what you're hoping, or maybe what you raised last year?
We're hoping to raise at least what we did last year. And okay. I think the power of what Movember does, not just from the conversation and the fun side of the campaign, but even the work we were talking about earlier with the PCF and engaging those in government around the conversation we're trying to have, is we can actually collaborate across 21 countries.
Yep.
So a perfect example of this is this initiative that we started called True North. So when you talk to prostate cancer survivors, those men who have been diagnosed and treated and come out the other side and they're in remission, some of the challenges they face are actually not just physical health challenges, but mental health challenges. So unlike other types of cancer, prostate cancer has some complications attached to it. So a man can be treated. They can have a prostatectomy, which is a removal of the prostate. They can have chemo or radiation. And some of the downside of those can be incontinence and erectile dysfunction. So you talk to some of these guys, and they're dealing with some of these issues, not just physically, but this is the core of what it means to be a man.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these individuals is, it's how they define themselves.
Right.
And a lot of these guys, when asked, will say, look, if I knew that this was a potential problem, I might have made a different decision. So while it's very important to get treatment and diagnoses out there, because there will be a day that no man dies from that disease. We believe that. The Prostate Cancer Foundation believes that as well. Men are still being treated today, but we want to help them make the right decision. So we invested at a global level in this initiative called True North. It's a Movember Foundation-driven initiative. It's $40 million of total investment across 5 countries.
Wow.
So it's Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the US, and the UK. It's 30 research institutions, 15 of which are in the U.S., and it's anywhere from sexual health workers up through clinicians, helping us design interventions around how do you engage a man and his partner and his family,
yep,
from moment one when they're told they have prostate cancer. How do you engage in that conversation, not just from physical health, here's what the treatment options are based upon what we know about your cancer,
yeah,
but also the mental health issues, talking to the partner, how are they defining quality of life as their man is being treated for prostate cancer, to how that man is defining his quality of life. Because if you're thinking 10 years down the road and you ask the question, where do you want to be in 10 years, they might have different opinions. So engaging them in that conversation early on and helping them make informed decisions about their treatment plan, incredibly important. So we're trying to balance not just the diagnostic and the treatment and getting to a place where we have the right drugs, we understand what that man has in terms of the types of prostate cancer, and we're treating them at a tailored level so we know exactly what types of cancers are on the prostate. There's over 26 different types.
Wow.
Some of them are aggressive, some of them aren't, but we know if we can identify the ones that are aggressive and treat that, ultimately we can get to a point that no man dies from the disease, but then men will still be living with the disease. And so how do you treat those men? How do you talk about their quality of life over a long period of time?
Right. So one of the words you mentioned was engage. And it's about that time with Pop Health Podcast where we talk about the word of the day. And just a reminder for the audience, email info@pophealthpodcast.com with the word of the day, and you'll be entered in to a raffle for a free Pop Health Podcast t-shirt. First five to send that email will be entered and have a 20% chance of winning. Mark, little did you know today, you're going to win a free t-shirt just for participating today.
I'm psyched.
I can tell.
I always need t-shirts.
I love the t-shirt you got on now, supporting the LA Movember.
Yeah, it's we partner with Adidas. Adidas has been a partner of ours for a couple years now, and you know we were talking about Move a little bit earlier and getting men and women engaged in moving together. So Adidas is obviously a great partner for us in that space of physical activity. So
awesome. Well, we'll definitely want to talk more about your partnerships here in a moment. Just for the audience again, the word of the day is actually engage. Engage, which is a key component of the Movember effort. In the month of Movember. So email the word engage to Gavin or info@pophealthpodcast.com and I'll reply to let you know if you've won and we'll need your t-shirt size as well. Let's ask maybe Ryan, we should ask him a little bit about some of those partnerships.
Yeah, so in addition to Adidas, you know, the Department of Defense you mentioned is a big supporter, at least looking into finding a cure. What about from a corporate level other than Adidas? Do you get large organizations, corporations involved? How does that work?
We do. It's similar to growing a Mo and you know, starting really small and hopefully having it glorious by the end of the 30 days. Movember has always been very grassroots. That's how we've established our foundation in each of the countries and really engaged. So it's guys like Ryan coming into 24-hour home care and saying, hey, have you heard about Movember? I want to do it. I want to get some of the guys around me to grow mustaches because I want to start having this conversation around men's health. What that does is it creates a groundswell in the organization. So we have corporate partners that support our efforts through marketing as well as providing a really cool experience for our community. So Harry's, which is the razor company, has been a sponsor of ours for the last couple of years, and they create a custom handle and a whole campaign around Movember. They host Shave the Date events, which is on Movember 1st. You know, obviously we ask men to go clean shaven on that day. They host Shave the Date events all across the country, so you can go into a barbershop that Harry's is sponsoring and get a free shave down.
Wow.
And that's really what is powerful about that connection and working with our partners in the corporate side. It's making sure that that DNA is there. And you talk to Adidas or you talk to Harry's and it's there. They are wanting to engage men in the conversation as well. And they realize that Movember can help them in that conversation. And
yeah.
Quite frankly, we know that they can help us because they have communities that we want to be talking to.
I've noticed at the soccer games I attend, I'm a big LA Galaxy supporter, season ticket holder for many years. And last year, they may have been doing it for a while, but I noticed last year the Major League Soccer has been involved.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we've been talking to MLS for a couple of years. They've had a lot of their teams grow. So Galaxy, the Timbers up in Portland, a lot of the teams get behind it because it's for them, it's a fun way for them to engage their communities,
their
audience that they have. And the NHL has also been great supporters of ours. We're actually an official charity of the NHL. So Hockey Fights Cancer is their charitable arm that looks at cancer initiatives. And we've been working with them for a number of years. We had, I think, over 22 teams in the NHL last year actually support Movember, and
excellent.
A bunch of the guys on the teams were growing Mo's. My hometown team, the Bruins, crushed it. So really happy to see. I mean, if you ever want to see Chara with a mustache, just look for him at the end of Movember. But you know, it's getting into the conversation, and really what that comes back to, you know, whether it's Harry's or Adidas or the MLS or NHL, you know, other partners. We have Tom's Shoes is one of our big partners, and Jameson's, which is you know, it's a whiskey brand, and
right.
The reason we're focusing on those kinds of conversations is what we found in these 11 years is you have to go to where men are. You can't get men to show up in a lot of cases to where they don't want to go.
Right.
So most guys will not go to a hospital. They won't go to a physician's office unless, you know, quite frankly, my wife tells me to.
Yeah.
But go to where men are. And what we found in that time and the conversation we're having at a global level is, how do you look at connectedness amongst men? And we've actually conducted some research out in Australia in the last couple of years and found that as men get older, they actually lose their connection to the other men in their lives and quite frankly, the women in their lives.
Hmm.
And that's due to a whole host of factors. It's change of jobs, it's getting married, it's having children. So men become more disengaged from their social network.
Yeah.
Whereas women become more engaged in their social network because they're mothers for the first time, so there's mommy and me classes, and they're more engaged in raising the child, maybe more than most men are. And so what we found is that connection starts falling back. But also at the same time, what we found is that Movember is a great way to reconnect around that conversation. It's challenging my dad, who had a mustache that was epic in the 70s and 80s with turtlenecks and all the kind of fun stuff, back into the conversation. He grows a mustache with me every year. And my two brothers, I think I have the best of the three mustaches, but my two brothers are engaged now. And it's actually a great way for me to push them on their health and have a conversation with them. So this whole idea of reconnecting men with the men and the women in their lives, Movember's found a unique way to do that. So it's quite an interesting social experiment.
Yeah.
And I think what ends up happening as well is you have to, going back to that concept of how do you connect with men and where do you go? So think about the MLS for a second.
Okay.
Or hockey.
I think about MLS every day.
I'm sure it sounds like you do. If you're a season ticket holder, you certainly do. Men are going to, that's where they go. That's where they have that conversation. Watching a baseball game at a bar, sitting at an MLS game in the stands, you know, catching up with buddies they might not have seen for 6 to 8 weeks, and getting the excuse to go out and find time to sit down with their friends. And how men have that conversation. Think about how all those conversations happen. It's shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
It's not face to face. I mean, we're talking to each other face to face right now, but it's not how men typically engage. So I'm fixing a car with my dad.
Okay.
Or you guys are at a soccer game together. You're talking about your issues side to side, shoulder to shoulder. You're not talking face to face because men are uncomfortable in that.
Right.
Women aren't. Women talk to each other face to face, but men don't. So how do you go to where they are? How do you engage in audiences that you know are well aligned with what Movember is trying to do in the world, and then get men to have that conversation where they don't feel uncomfortable about having it? So that's really what we're trying to do. It's a pretty big piece, but we're excited.
I like that. I hadn't really thought about that before as far as, you know, being shoulder to shoulder versus face to face, but it definitely makes sense.
Yeah. Now, we talked earlier about some of the funds, the True North efforts, $40 million across the globe on research. Where does the money that Movember raises go towards in general? I know big amounts go towards research. Can you share a little bit more about where the money goes?
Sure. So we focus on four key areas.
Okay.
Prostate cancer, testicular cancer, the two leading male cancers. Obviously, there are other types of cancers that men are diagnosed with. One in two men will have some form of cancer in their lifetime.
Wow.
50%. That's a conversation we need to be having with guys.
Absolutely.
For sure. And then we also focus on boys and men's mental health. And that's a new initiative within the U.S. context. It's actually something we invested out of the 2014 campaign.
Excellent.
So we invested $5 million in an initiative called Making Connections, and we're going to continue to invest in this idea. But what we found is since we started investing in mental health globally back in 06, particularly within Australia, that there's a lot of work to do.
Yep.
And you know, the state of mental health in general is a really challenging one. And I think, obviously, in the U.S. context, we focus quite heavily on physical health. You know, if you look at the treatment and sort of the prevention, early intervention, and treatment paradigm that occurs in physical health, it's largely broken when you look at it from a mental health perspective. So what we're trying to accomplish with Making Connections is engaging in prevention and early intervention. So when a boy experiences a traumatic event in their life, how do you help intervene within that community that boy is living in as early as possible, or quite frankly, help prevent that if possible? And that's a huge challenge. We know full well it's not going to be easy to prevent trauma, but if maybe we can chip away at that. So boys aren't experiencing, you know, violence in their lives, whether it be sexual violence, physical violence, or domestic violence, and they're experiencing that every single day, and that affects women as well.
Absolutely.
For sure. But if we can engage boys and young men when they're first experiencing this type of trauma and look to prevent it where we can, but if where we can't prevent it, intervene where we can. And it's working within the community. So Making Connections, going back to the conversation we've been having about how do you engage men in a conversation? And what has Movember done?
Right.
It's about connections. It's about getting a conversation going. It's getting men comfortable. I don't care where these guys live, We just want them to get comfortable that it's okay to have a conversation. You know, I'm not feeling great today.
Yep.
You know, my back hurts, or, you know, I'm not feeling great because I'm anxious about this meeting I'm having, or I just had a terrible, you know, conference call with one of my clients. I need to go take a walk.
Yeah.
It's okay to recognize that stuff and actually acknowledge it.
Absolutely.
So for us, making connections is coming back to this idea of how do we connect men within their community to their community,
yeah,
and help that community as best we can to support those men. It's as simple as, I'll give you a case example. You guys are sitting right across from our barbershop here in the foundation.
Yep.
That's a literal translation of what we're trying to do with making connections. So if you talk to mental health professionals, some of the untrained psychologists in men's lives are one of two people. They're barbers and they're bartenders.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
So how do we work with barbers in a community to have a conversation? There's actually been a lot of research and a lot of work in other areas around hypertension and diabetes, of engaging barbers in a conversation, having actual devices in a barbershop to test people for diabetes or,
wow,
you know, for hypertension, and then have that barber have a conversation with them. Say, hey, have you gone to the doctor recently?
Yeah.
And then resourcing them out to the appropriate clinical setting. So there's a power in that, because those barbers are really trusted. I mean, these are people you see every 8 weeks.
Absolutely.
And they know more about your life probably than a lot of people do. So yeah, how do you engage that community in helping boys and men,
yeah,
particularly when it comes to physical and mental health?
Yeah. Well, I want to commend what you're saying, Mark. I have a group of guys I get together with every few weeks, and we talk about some stuff, including health, that it's pretty revealing. Mm. You know, it's something as a man I would never have thought I would share with other dudes, other guys.
Yeah.
And I've become comfortable with it. And even working with people like Ryan next to me here, I think once you dabble in a little bit, you can start to get comfortable. And it really does help me live a better standard of life, have less stress, mm-hmm, have better solutions in my life just by talking about health and other, you know, relationships, things like that.
Absolutely.
So I hope in the future of Movember that we're able to see more men participate in those conversations.
That's a great segue. I've been listening to you talk about the history of Movember. 11 years ago, you know, two guys having a beer in a bar, growing a mustache for a birthday, and 11 short years later, here we are in Los Angeles. It's been amazing to see the progression of this organization, of the movement. Where do you see it 5 years from now, 10 years from now? What is the future of Movember?
So it's a long conversation we've been having over the last couple of years as we've, you know, developed into a lot of these markets. And each of the markets are different in some ways. The U.S. market is a very different animal from everywhere else we exist in the world. And, you know, I've had a little experience. I came out of the healthcare industry, was in it for 10 years, and sort of understand how distribution works. And you talk to an Australian about how the U.S. Healthcare market works, and they have no understanding of it. And it's not because they don't want to. It's just it's a foreign animal to them. So it's a large conversation within the context of how we develop programs in each of these markets. But it always comes back to this idea of how do we ultimately look at what is the vision for what we're trying to do 5-10 years down the road. And that's quite simply, we want to engage men in a conversation, and we want to get them comfortable engaging in the physical and mental health conversation and actually taking action when they have an issue. And if that's as simple as, I have a broken finger, you should probably go to the doctor. Don't put duct tape on it. Don't rub it with dirt.
I thought duct tape fixes everything.
MacGyver has clearly trained us to think that duct tape fixes everything, and he might be right. But the real challenge is getting beyond that, the concept of man up.
Yeah.
I think that's actually, quite frankly, it's a damaging term for some people. And so when we look 5 years down the road, it's redefining masculinity.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a conversation we need to have with men. I'll give you a startling statistic. It's something we focus on. This is all the way at the end of the mental health challenge that we have, and something that we're focusing on. And similar to what we look at prostate cancer, 30,000 men in the U.S. die from prostate cancer. 1 in 7 men will be diagnosed. 1 in 5 African-American men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. So there's something happening in that community. And there's a lot of research that we funded with the Prostate Cancer Foundation that's shown that African-American men are predisposed to prostate cancer at a higher degree. So how do you get that conversation going with that community?
Yeah.
And it's a real challenge. And we look at that 30,000 number, those men are dying from prostate cancer every year. We hope to get that to zero, or as close to zero as possible, as quickly as possible. But let me talk about mental health for a second. And this is a conversation I think we need to have as a country. And ultimately, the big challenge we have here is when you look at the top 10 reasons, according to the CDC, why Americans pass every year, there's 9 physical health issues, or those that can be tied to physical, things like cancer, diabetes, congestive heart failure.
Right.
There's 1 behavioral health issue on that list. It's suicide.
Mm.
So when you look at the number of Americans that die by suicide every year, it's 41,000.
Wow.
8,000 of those are armed service members.
Wow.
So 20% of those individuals are armed service members. 75% of those are men. So there are 30,000 men taking their own lives each year in the U.S. That's a public health issue. That's
Definitely.
Something we know we need to be talking about.
Yeah.
So when I look at 5-10 years down the road, it's my son, when he's 12, being comfortable coming to me or his mom and saying, hey, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
You know, I've got, you know, I don't feel good today, or, you know, whether that's a physical health or a mental health issue, it's getting him comfortable to come to us or go to one of his friends, his, you know, one of his buddies on the playground, or one of his, you know, girlfriends, and saying, hey, I'm struggling today, or, you know, I've got this issue that I'm trying to work through it. Getting him to that point and redefining the masculinity around that, not saying, hey, just, you know what, son, just rub some dirt on it, you'll be fine. I think that's the stuff we need to really investigate and start having a conversation about, because it's important to, and I'm not saying, you know, completely redefine men, but, you know, let's get guys having a conversation, to your point.
Yeah.
Talking about stuff with your buddies every couple of weeks that you probably didn't think you would be doing 5-10 years ago.
No.
And that's really important.
Yeah.
Because that connectedness that we start to lose as we get older, it's something we have to look at.
Redefine man up. I like that.
Yeah, and redefine masculinity. And these concepts, to the audience, I'm sure, which are based on our demographics, are mostly healthcare professionals, so I think most of them can relate. But I think for all of us guys, and even women out there as well, really take to heart what Mark's saying. I encourage you all, myself included, I need to follow this advice, to continue to be open about our health, and whether, again, like Mark shared, is physical or mental. It's really important. So we are closing our episode today with Mark. Mark, in a 30-second takeaway, we've been talking for about 30 minutes or so. What would you say in 30 seconds are the biggest takeaways for what Movember's doing?
We're creating connections for men and having conversations, and we've taken a very fun idea of getting men to grow a mustache, which is quite frankly a Trojan horse to get to the conversation that we're trying to have, the serious side of what we're trying to do in the world. And I think anyone that's listening, go to Movember.com, check out what we're doing, understand how we're trying to have a conversation, and hopefully engage. We'd love to have people growing mustaches or moving together. And I think that's ultimately what we're trying to do, is to just start at a grassroots level and get a conversation going and reconnect or make new connections. You guys now are two of my best MoBro buddies. So
there we go.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, then that means you'll be contributing to my Movember campaign.
You send it along, and I'll be happy to contribute.
And it is a great website for those of our listeners who want to learn more information, figure out how to start that conversation for more of the stats and everything else, Movember.com. I encourage you to go. And I also, on a personal note, this time of year, my son always starts asking the question, you know, are you going to grow your mustache? And I've now got a daughter who just turned 2, and he's trying to explain to her that daddy's going to grow a mustache now, and it's for good cause, and he doesn't quite get it, but he knows that much. So
that's awesome.
It's cool that at such a young age that is being picked up.
Yes. Awesome, Ryan. Well, Ryan, again, thank you so much for bringing the whole concept of Movember to our organization, and look forward to seeing you here in the next few weeks. Mark, again, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And everyone, engage in those conversations, make those connections, grow those mows, and raise some money. Thanks, everybody. Take care.